الله 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 الله.
وفي نسمات الأصيل الرقاء.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to our fiqh program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhahib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. The date today is the 27th of Jumad al-Ula, 1444, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 22nd of December, 2022. Today we continue our topic on Christianity. We welcome our Honorable Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa ana Zaid Khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, the first question is, can Mufti Saab please comment on the authenticity of the Bible?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When we discuss the divine scriptures, the books that were revealed by Almighty Allah to the various prophets and messengers, so we take the Torah was revealed to Nabi Musa alayhi salam, the Injil, the Gospel revealed to Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, and the Zabur revealed to Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu salam. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is teaching us that regarding these prophets and messengers, the only book that is in its pristine purity is the noble Quran. And therefore, even today, we have millions of people, not thousands, but millions of people that have remembered, memorized, and they have by heart the noble Quran. So that is of paramount importance for us to understand. And there's not a single person in the entire world who can claim that he knows the entire Injil or the Gospel or the Bible or the Torah in the original language. So therefore, we should always remember that as a starting point. Second point we must remember is this, that when you ask the Christians that, okay, this Bible of yours that you say, so now let us study the Bible and see what is the Bible. So you must remember the Bible has got that they say, now yeah, they tell us, right? So see among the Christians themselves how many problems they have. That you will see that the people who are Protestants, the people who are Catholics, they themselves, they have different, you must remember, books in which they believe in. They don't believe in everyone and so forth and so on. So that's the first thing we must remember. Second one we must remember is this. Now you will see, I got the Holy Bible here in front of me, the King James Version. And if you look at it, what will they tell you? They will tell you the Holy Bible, and it's got here the King James Version, authorized King James Version, right? So now if you look at it, you will see here that they'll have the book, and according to Matthew, and then Mark, and Luke, and so forth. So why you have to say according to? That's the first question. So why you have to say according to? And who is this Mark? Who is the Matthew? Who is Luke? And so forth and so on. So all this creates big questions for us. We don't even know their surname. Second one is this. Did any one of them meet Jesus, peace be upon him? Did they meet Jesus? They never met Jesus. None of them met Jesus. So whether you say it's Matthew or whether it's Mark or whoever, so remember, this creates big problems. So when they never met Jesus, so then this inqita, it means that the chain of transmission is interrupted. And once you have that, then you're going to have big problems, because you can't say that they met Jesus and they are direct disciples of Jesus and so forth. forth. So that is the first point we must remember, and these are the challenges we give to the people of the Christian faith, that you will have to show us, you must remember, that who are the people, what are their surname, and why you have to write according to. So all these are questions, and therefore we will say, today the Bible that is floating around and the Jehovah's Witness come with it and they thump it, you know, to the people and they teach it. But remember that not one of them has by-hearted it in the original language, and none of them can be said to be 100% true. I have now in front of me the Holy Bible, and that is the King James Version. Then I have the Holy Bible, the New International Version. If you just take these two, you will see there's a difference in them, and so forth and so on. So it shows, that's why I always make that comment, you have different versions of the Bible, that even the versions get confused or they get their fuses blown in the process.
Mufti Saab, you spoke about the virgins, but is there any pornography in the Bible?
You must remember this. I'll read for you now that what does the Bible say about this. You must remember. See, for example, the story of the Bible and pornography in the Bible. You take the story of Lot, you know, Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. So you will see, I'll read for you what is written. If one has to compare now these Bibles, right? So in the production of the King James Version, you will see that there is that the daughters of Lot wanting to preserve the seed of our father. And the other translation reads to preserve the lineage of our father. Now let us read what the Bible says. Now this is directly what the Bible is saying, right? So we must know that I'm not saying anything from my side. This is the Holy Bible, Genesis chapter 19 and verses 33-35. Then you could draw your own conclusions. I repeat, Genesis chapter 19 and verses 33-35. Now you must remember Lut alayhi salam was sent to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were guilty of the gay brigade and sodomy and homosexuality. Now this is what is mentioned in the Bible, and remember it is mentioned in Genesis chapter 19 verses 33-35. I'm reading. That night they, within brackets now, both the daughters of Lot, gave him, their father Lot, within brackets, wine to drink. And the older daughter had intercourse with him. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. Will any normal person have intercourse with his daughter? I'm asking you. You think about it. Here we are saying and alleging that the Prophet of Allah, selected by Almighty Allah, who's ma'soom, all prophets and messengers are protected from by divine protection from all types of sins and vices. But the Bible is teaching and saying, and the older daughter had intercourse with him. Allah forbid, aliyaz billah. The next day, the older daughter said to her sister, meaning the younger one, I slept with him last night. Now let's get him drunk again tonight and you sleep with him. Now the elder sister is encouraging the younger sister. She must sleep with the father and commit incest. That's what the Bible is saying. Then each of us will have a child by our father. Now, which society allows that? I'm asking you. And this you telling me is the word of God? Sorry, I reject it with the contempt it deserves. And any person who believes in this, remember, if he's a Muslim, he goes out to the fold of Islam. If he's a Christian or a non-Muslim, then he is dadu kufra. That their kufr and blasphemy just increases. Remember that. So that night, they got him drunk. And the younger daughter had intercourse with him. I'm back here with the Bible, right? So you must remember that this is what they say. In this way, of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. Now, can you imagine this? And then before that, I told you that to preserve the seed of our father. Some Bibles got that translation, the translation in English, and some got it, you must remember, as preserve the lineage of our father. Now, how does this happen? The result, you know, you're going to serve and all these type of things here. So you must remember that now we go on with another topic. As a result, this is a commentary. As a result of this illicit, incestuous relationship, both of the daughters of Lot delivered a son, each who became famous in the Bible as the progenitors of the Ammonites and the Moabites, specially guarded and protected communities in the Book of God. The Jews were to exterminate the Palestinians. I'm reading it again. The Jews were to exterminate the Palestinians. So that's what they're trying to do today also. Nothing that breeds was to be spared, but for Lot's children of this bastardy. That's what is written in the Bible. Can you imagine? Nothing that breeds was to be spared, but for Lot's children of bastardly. So here they got here, their day in Deuteronomy is mentioned, I'm reading from the Bible. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of his Lord. Deuteronomy, and this is 23 verse 2, chapter 23 verse 2. Now see, I read from the Bible. Holy Bible, this is now Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 19. That the Lord spoke to me, me means Moses, right, within brackets, saying, this day you Israelites, that is now within brackets, are to cross over at Ar, the boundary of Moab, the Moabites. So there you have one already, Moabites. And when you come near the people of Ammon, the Ammonites, that is in brackets, do not harass them or meddle with them, for I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the descendants of Lot for possession. Now imagine that from these haram children, that all these children who are illegitimate and so forth, and now that God is promising them special land, special message and all that. Now, can any person, you must remember, in his right mind, accept a thing like this as a word of God? I'm asking you. Irrespective of which religion you belong to. But this, I'm giving you the reference, I'm giving you all the things. Now, it brings me to three incidents. So let me just mention it. You see, 1981, January to 2001, I was in Newcastle, KwaZulu-Natal. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wonderful 20 years. So what some friends of mine decided that Sunday we free, because Monday to Saturday we to teach. They said, let us go to the African township, you see. And the African township there is called Osizweni in Newcastle. So one is Madadeni and one is Osizweni. So they said, no, let's go to Osizweni. There the people want to know more about Islam. So I said, fine. So every Sunday, every second Sunday, some Sundays I would go out, but most Sundays I used to go with them. So and we established like a musalla also, a place of prayer and so forth. So one day when we went there, so we found this Jehovah's Witnesses, and they were busy, the Christians were busy preaching to our people, the Muslims, those who embrace Islam and so forth. So our brothers got very upset, you know. So I just told him, keep quiet, I'll handle it. All of you just keep quiet. So when he, that Bible thumper, that Jehovah's Witness, was finished, he was preaching in Zulu, you know, which I didn't understand much. So then he said, he's finished. So I said, no, sir, you don't go away, you please stay here. So he got very surprised, and our people got surprised. So I told him that, open, you must remember Genesis, chapter 19, verses 33 to 35, where it's spoken about this Lot, Allah forbid, committing incest with his own daughters. So I said, now read from there. So they read. One youngster read. So I took the Bible from the priest, and he showed the reference, and I told the youngster, you read. So he read. When that youngster read, that same youngster, Christian, maybe 15, 17 years old. So, or a Muslim youngster read. Christian youngster, Muslim youngster, whatever. So I can still remember the expression on his face. He shook his head. He said, Haziko, Aziko. This can't be true. This can't be right. See, any person who is not blinded, who's not got a herd mentality, will tell you that those passages, they can never ever be. You must remember what you will call this thing. You must remember this word of God and so forth. One incident, finish. Sunday, this was this day, these people, this Jehovah's Witness, they would come around, you know. So one day they landed up by my house, these Jehovah's Witnesses, you know. So they landed up there. And then when they came to my house, so they said it was a male and a female, you know. So they came there and they said that they want to speak about justice. So I asked them that, are you all married, the two of you all? They said, no, we're not married. I said, okay. So now, this is now Ahmad Didat, Sheikh Ahmad Didat, you know, he's the trick, like, you know, he would use against them. So, no, don't say trick, his strategy rather. So he would use against them. So I said, okay, I got 4 or 5 Bibles, I'm bringing for you the Bible, and I want you must now read. So I showed them Ezekiel. You see, always remember Ezekiel is book 23. You see, Ezekiel is there. So you get different, but anyway, Ezekiel is one of the books of the Bible. So yeah, I've got a Bible in front of me now. So now if you go to Ezekiel, and you must look for 2 adulterous sisters. So what you must look for? Ezekiel, the 2 adulterous sisters. And then I told them to read it. So you must remember, when I told them to read it, they just read a little bit, they didn't want to read more. So I asked them, what's wrong? So they knew that I hooked them properly, that they didn't have the guts to read more and more. So I said, do you know that this is a keel? Yeah, remember, is what you will call, you know, that it is something that which has been banned by the South African Census Board. So imagine in Ezekiel, you will find that incident about those adulterous sisters and so forth and so on. So when I challenged them about that, they said, you know what, we got a lot of work to do and so forth and so on. So now we're going on and so forth, we're going to run away and so. Now imagine if the Bible has got this about this, you know, this 2 adulterous sisters in Ezekiel. And if you look at it, just joining to that, so the third incident, you know, Sheikh Ahmad Didat, when he had that debate with Swaggart, Jamie Swaggart. So people call him Swaggart, but Sheikh Ahmad Didat in his own style. He would say Jamie Swaggart, you know. So that. So anyway, he told Swaggart in the debate in front of thousands of people that you must read this portion here. And what is the portion you must read? You must read this portion, the 2 adulterous sisters, and I'll give you $50 or I will give you $100. Or whatever, the way you must remember, you know, we Muslims, Ramadan time, we have Taraweeh. So Swaggart read it like he's reading, he's got the Ferrari, you know. Fast he read it. And you must remember that he told him, okay, a man of God must always honor. He gave him his $50, $100, whatever he promised him. But he cornered him properly. So he told him under apartheid that we had our census board. Yeah. And he removed all the numbers from the Ezekiel and he sent it to the census board and asked them, what is this? And the census board, you must remember what they had. They had what you will call 2 dominees, 2 priests, 2 predicants. And they read that all that. Yes, it's here. So go there, all of you. So you must remember, church is a key. I want every Christian to write this down. Every Muslim to write this down. So you must remember that is a key, and it is 2, it's a subheading, subchapter, 2 adulterous sisters. And it is chapter 23. It is chapter 23. And then it goes on. You must remember this, that she will go and thus and all these type of things. So write till, you must read till, say till about the first of this Ezekiel. You read, say, the first 10 or 11 verses and all these things here. Or say 14, 15 verses. Let me read it for you. Then you will come to know. So in the new, I got this Bible here. So Holy Bible New International Version, it's on page 1005. Two Adulterous Sisters, and it is page 1005. So that's very important. We must always remember these things here. That is how we can corner the Christians, right? So two adulterous sisters, and remember that this is now, and it was banned. Banned meaning they said we must ban it. Then they, Ahmed Didat, went to the census board. Sunday Tribune carried the article. I have it in my archives. And they said, shouldn't the Bible be banned? So now they couldn't ban it. Why? Because of the Bible. But that time the census board said it must be banned. You see? So that is how they play games with the people and they fool the people. Now what is this whole thing about two adulterous sisters? And let me see if I can give it to you from the King James Version as well. So then there's no ambiguity and all that left in this, you must remember. So you will know exactly where to find it in the Bible. And if you hear it here, so I got the King James Version now and I am at 23. So you must remember this, the word of the Lord came against me, and with the two women and that. So in the King James Version, it's on page 521. And the King James Version, at page 521. So that is where you will find it here, that page 521, and about these two adulterous sisters. So I gave you from two Bibles, remember that, and I'm going to read it out for you now. So there's no ambiguity on this issue here. So we must know what the Bible of today. Therefore, we say this can never be something, the Word of God. It is concocted, fabricated by the clergy. Right. Now we're reading Ezekiel 23 and the subheading, Two Adulterous Sisters. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, they were two women, daughters of the same mother. They became prostitutes in Egypt, engaging in prostitution from their youth. In that land, their breasts were fondled and their virgin bosoms caressed. The older was Uhula, O-H-O-L-A-H, Uhula, and her sister was Uhuliba, so L-I-B-H-B-A-H. They were mine and gave birth to sons and daughters. Uhula is Samaria and Uhuliba is Jerusalem. Do you see now? So where the story is going to? Now we carry on. This is chapter 23, verse 5 now. So it starts at Ezekiel 23, 4, and now we're on 5, verse 5. Uhula engaged in prostitution while she was still mine, and she lusted after her lovers. Assyrians, warriors clothed in blue, governors and commanders, all of them handsome young men and mounted horsemen. She gave herself as a prostitute to all the elite of the Assyrians and defiled herself with all the idols of everyone she lusted after. She did not give up the prostitution she began in Egypt, when during her youth men slept with her, caressed the virgin bosom, and poured out their lust upon her. Therefore I handed her over to her lovers, the Assyrians, for whom she lusted. They stripped her naked, took away her sons and daughters, and killed her with the sword. She became a byword among women, and punishment was inflicted upon her. Her sister, next, this is the 11th verse now of this Ezekiel chapter 23. Her sister Uhuliba saw this, yet in her lust and prostitution, she was more depraved than her sister. I read again. Her sister Uhuliba saw this, yet in her lust and prostitution, she was more depraved than her sister. She too lusted after the Assyrians' governors and commanders, warriors in full dress, mounted horsemen, all handsome young men. I saw that she too defiled herself. Both of them went the same way. But she carried the prostitution still further. She saw men portrayed on the wall, figures of Chaldeans portrayed in red, with belts round their waists, and flowing turbans on their head. All of them looked like Babylon chariots officers, natives of Chaldea. As soon as she saw them, she lusted after them and sent messengers to them and that. Then the Babylonians came to her, to her bed of love, and in the last they defiled her. After she had been defiled by them, she turned away from them in disgust. When she carried on a prostitution, openly exposed her nakedness, I turned away from her in disgust, just as I turned away from her sister. Yet she became more and more promiscuous as she recalled the days of her youth when she was a prostitute there. She was a prostitute in Egypt. Now imagine all this. You're telling me it's the word of God. I'm asking you. So you must remember this. And it goes on and on and on and all these type of things. So therefore, the Christians, they feel so ashamed, you must remember, to even read about this and so forth. And yeah, I'm reading, 42. The noise of a carefree crowd was around her. Sabians were brought from the desert, along with men from the rebel, and they put bracelets on the arms of the woman and her sister, and beautiful crowns on the head. Then I said about the worn out of them, out by adultery, now let them use her as a prostitute, for that is all she is. And they slept with her, as men sleep with a prostitute, so they slept with those lewd women. So all this is telling me the word of God. So any person in his right mind will never accept it. So remember this, the Bible is full of, you must remember, pornography and so forth. So we have huge, huge problems. Therefore, you, the Christians, now you tell me you're going to celebrate your Christmas and all these type of things. But now you should be asking yourself, which kind of Christmas are we really celebrating? When we have all these promises, we have all the problems here in the Bible and inconsistencies and what goes on. So we should be really thinking about these issues here. And you must remember that when you look at the Bible today, therefore it has lost, people have lost confidence in it, the Christians themselves. They say that now we can see ourselves that this can never be really the word of God. Because remember, they are making us fools here and so forth. I made so many notes here in my Bible here, right? So I'll give you other examples. So you must remember that you got Jacob wrestling with God. Now imagine that. Jacob, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, is wrestling with God. So let us go to that one there now. So this is now in Genesis, right? Now you got Jacob, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam. Come on, Allah, we want to have a wrestling match. Now can you? You're telling me this is the Bible? Yes, it's here, Genesis. And it's very, this thing here. Subheading, Jacob wrestles with God. So now verse 22. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And after he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God, and with men you have overcome." Now imagine, they're saying that he had a fight and a wrestling match with God, and now he even beat God. Astaghfirullah, al-iyazubillah. So I'm just giving you, snippets of what things you will find, you must remember, in the Bible and so forth. You will find David, Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, that he committed, Allah forbid, committed adultery, committed fornication, all that. Now, how can we ever accept that this is the word of God? You must remember. So I'm giving it to you now, right? So yeah, I got everything written down. So which page and everything, so makes it easy for me here. So this is, I'll give you the references so you can read it yourself, because you got different Bibles and so forth there. So yeah, I wrote down in Samuel 2. So now we go there. So now what he did, they say that, right. Here's it, I'm reading for you. David and Bathsheba. This is now in Samuel 2. In the spring, at the time when the king goes off to war, David sent Joab, J-O-A-B, out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. Now we go to verse 2. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. And who's this woman? She is the one whose husband he sent off in the war. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah?" The wife of Uriah, you see, the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with her. Inna lillahi. Nabi Dawood alayhi salam sleeping with somebody else's wife, and that somebody, he sent him, "You go out in the army," and when he's gone out in the army, he takes advantage. This is the height of kufr, remember, and blasphemy. And that lady's name was Uriah, so that is there. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with her. She had purified herself from her uncleanliness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent the word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David sent to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. So you see all these things here. So all, next one here they got, Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my master Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open house. How could I go to my wife, to my house, to eat and drink and lie with my wife? As surely you love, I will not do such a thing." Now see all these kind of things. That they say, Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, this is nakal kufr, kufr nabashid. 100% if a person believes in all this, so remember he is going to be totally out of the fold of Islam. See another one I give you. You will be shocked, you know, what things are in the Bible. Let's go to the story, you must remember, of Harun, Nabi Harun alayhi salatu salam, Aaron. So see what they say about him also. They say, Nabi Harun alayhi salatu salam, Allah forbid that he worshipped some idols and all that. So here's it here. In Exodus, Aaron, meaning Nabi Harun alayhi salam, told people to make shirk. Allah forbid. So I got it here, I'll read for you. So can you believe every prophet came to eliminate shirk and polytheism and idol worship? But the Bible tells us that now, no, Aaron, the brother of Moses, Nabi Harun alayhi salatu salam's brother, so he told his people that you must now worship this, you know, golden calf and so forth. So that is, I'm going to read for you now. So this is what he told his people. So I read for you now. Chapter 32, verse 5. So I'm here now. By an Exodus, right? So it's written Exodus, and then the subchapter is the golden calf. We go to verse 5. "Then they are your gods," and that he said, okay. You know the story in the Quran is mentioned. Now, this is the Bible. Chapter 32, verse 5, Exodus, right? "When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf," meaning the golden calf, "and announced, 'Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord.' So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go down.'" So you meaning that now he is telling them that he's going to build an altar so they can worship there. Isn't it? So that's what it means. So can you accept all these type of things? Therefore, we say today's Bible and Gospel and Torah all are corrupted, you must remember. These are just few examples. Otherwise, if you go through it, you will find so many examples of that. Then so many errors in the Bible and so forth. I read for you one passage where Sheikh Ahmed Didat, then we'll go for a break, inshallah. That Sheikh Ahmed Didat wrote, you know, that about the Bible and so forth and so on. So then you will understand what I'm telling you. How authentic is the Bible, right? That was the topic and so forth and so on. So we say the errors in the Bible. So yeah, I'm giving you now how many errors are there in the Bible? How many mistakes are there in the Bible, right? So let us see, it's from all your sources, not from our sources. This is from your people's books and this type of thing. So I'm reading from him, from the choice of Sheikh Ahmed Didat, page 318, 319. Your word is truth, right? 50,000 errors in the Bible. Recently, a young man purchased King James Version Bible, thinking it was without error. One day when glancing through a back issue of the Look magazine, L-O-O-K, he came across an article entitled The Truth About the Bible, which said that as early as 1720, an English authority estimated there were up to at least 20,000 errors in the two editions of the New Testament, commonly read by Protestant and Catholics. Modern day students, this was now 1720, that was written, that the students and that estimated 20,000. Then the modern day students say there are probably 50,000 errors, the young errors. So 50,000 errors mistake. The young man was shocked. His faith in the Bible authenticity was shaken. How can the Bible be reliable when it contains thousands of discrepancies and inaccuracies? So if you want this, the choice, and this is the Awake magazine. You know, Awake from Brooklyn, September 8th, 1957 edition. So you will find it there. This is yours, Christians, not the Muslim. This is Christian, Awake, and there from Brooklyn, New York, September 8th, 1957, number 17 it is. So this is there in your book. Now what will you say for a book like this? So therefore, we should understand that these type of things tell us clearly that the only book that has been preserved for humanity and posterity is the Noble Quran and no other book.
Inshallah, we'll go for a break and after that we will continue.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we return back to this program. Mufti Sahab, the next question is, what is all the misconceptions about Christmas?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. First and foremost, let us explain to the Western world, the Christian world, the Catholics, Protestants, and majority of the Christians throughout the world, we don't say all, we say majority, they say Christmas is 25th of December. You see what they say? Christmas is 25th of December. So we have a question. Show us where is that mentioned. Anywhere in the Bible, anywhere in some authentic source and so forth. So that they can't. They can't give us some conclusive evidence that Jesus was born and his Milad Mubarak took place on the 25th of December. Let us see what the Quran Sharif speaks about Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Nabi Isa alayhi salam's name, Nami, Ismi Grami is mentioned 25 times in the Noble Quran. Isa means to be fair in complexion, to be a leader. That is the meaning of Isa. And his honorable mother, Sayyidah Maryam radiallahu anha, Mary. So whether you call her Mary, Maryam al-Azra, Mary the Virgin, or Maryam al-Batul. Batul means the one who turns away from the toxic society and goes to a pure place. So she left, and I'll give you the references. Makanan Sharqiya. She went to the eastern region because there were not so many vices there compared to where she was. So these are three wonderful names for you, Muslim ladies, sisters, daughters. Maryam, Abida, the worshipper of Almighty Allah. The name mentioned, the only name mentioned in the Noble Quran for females, 34 times mentioned, chapter 19 dedicated to this honorable lady. Azra, so with the Ain, Azra means virgin, so Mary the virgin. Batul, the one who turns away from vice, you know, and toxic society to go to a pure and virtuous community. So that is Batul. Watabattal ilayhi tabtila. So that is in Quran also. Anyway, so all that I gave you as introduction. Now if you want to solve this problem, so there are two, three issues. You know Bishop Tutu. I heard him myself. My association with radio goes long back. When I was a young boy, I used to like to listen to radio. Now you, Maulana, you wouldn't know all these things here. That I'm speaking of the 60s, long before you were born, you know. So I loved to hear on Friday nights, they used to have squad cars, you know, on the radio. So I used to, how the police catch the guys, like, you know. And then they used to have, consider your verdict, is a court case. So very good, like. And how they, you know, weigh the evidence and that. Then they used to have another program, inspect the car, you know. So he, how he catches the guy. Then end of the program, they ask you, what is the clue? If you got the clue, then you'll be fit to be a good policeman. You don't get it, then you're not good, like, you know. So like that. So I used to listen to all this. We never dreamt one day we're going to speak on radio and all this kind of thing. So I used to listen to all these funny interviews. So one day, this got to do with our lesson. And you must remember, they asked Tutu. Tutu is a big shot of the Anglican Church. He died now. So you must remember, they asked him, Tutu, can we say, meaning can they, the Anglican Christians say, Jesus had a father, and the father is Yusuf Najjar, Joseph the carpenter. He said, whether you say that Joseph the carpenter is the father, or you don't say that, and you say that, no, she gave birth miraculously, it doesn't matter to us, meaning both ways is acceptable. Now imagine from the top, if you're saying this, if a Muslim has to make that statement, straight away is out of the fold of Islam. So therefore, I brought that incident also. When you want to speak, then you must remember, you must speak with conclusive evidence. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. Now let us go to chapter 19, Surah Maryam. That chapter dedicated to Sayyidah Maryam radiallahu anha, and is the only chapter that is dedicated to a lady by a name. And her name is mentioned 34 times in the Noble Quran. And this surah, yes, Surah Maryam, chapter 19, it comprises how many verses? So, yeah, Almighty Allah is telling us that surah to Maryam, that this surah Maryam, where was it revealed? Makkiya. So, in Makkah Mukarramah, before the Hijrah to Medina Munawwara, and it comprises 98 verses, total surah, right? Then, if you go, the whole story of Sayyidah Maryam starts. Chapter 19, verse 16. Wazkur fil kitabi Maryam. So then she left the people and she went to Makanan Sharqiya. She made the hijab parda and she started worshipping. This was all part of the divine plan. When she was there worshipping Almighty Allah, Jibreel alayhi salam, فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا. You see? So when the word ruh comes in the Quran, sometime it will mean soul and spirit. And sometime it will mean Jibreel alayhi salam. You see? So this is chapter 19, verse 17. So we send our ruh. So our ruh is who? Jibreel alayhi salam. فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. He, angels, are given the power by Allah to take multi-dimensional forms. So he came to her in the form of a human being. And now she's alone. She says, fear Allah. They don't come near me. So he says, but I am sent by Allah. I'm going to give you glad tidings. You're going to give birth to a son. She said, how can I give birth to a son? وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرُ وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيَّا. That no strange male has touched me, and I am not a loose woman. Now we just have to pause for a moment. You see the Jutlas, the Jews, the Zionists, why are they cursed? They are cursed for multi reasons. This is also one reason why they are cursed. Allah forbid, نَقْلُ الْكُفْرِ لَيْسَ بِكَافِرِينَ نَقْلَ كُفْرِ كُفْرِ نَبَاشِرِ. The Jews say Jesus is the son of a harlot. His mother was a loose lady selling herself all. Allah forbid. She was chaste, she was pure, she's virgin. But that's why Allah cursed them so many a time, you must remember that. It's famous, you go open their Talmud and that these are the words you will find. Jesus, son of a harlot. So that Allah forbid. So he tells her, no, it's easy and you can do what you want to. وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا. The matter is decided and decreed. فَحَمَلَتْهُ. And now she's pregnant. So now she goes further away from the eastern place. مَكَانًا قَصِيًّا. Now remember that it's time for labor pains. فَأَجَاءَ. Now what we're speaking about? The birth of Jesus. Miladu Nabi Isa alayhi salam. So she has to give birth. She goes to the date tree and she leans against it, puts her back against the trunk of the tree, the date tree. She says, how I wish I was finished, I was just passed away or something. Allah says, no, don't say all those words. Allah tahzani, you must not be sad, O Maryam. Radiallahu anha, qad ja'ala rabbuki tahtaki sariya. We have made arrangements for water beneath you. Just see, you will see the water gushing out. There, the spring and fountain and whatever you. And then see next to it the tree. And the tree is a date tree. You must just shake it. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِزْءِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطَ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا. Once you shake it, fresh dates will come. So when fresh dates will come? In summer. If you go to now December time, remember it's midwinter, 1992. I was there in Palestine in December, so we know what we're talking. Summertime, Nabi Isa alayhi salam was born. Go and read the Noble Quran, chapter 19, verses 16, and it goes on right up to verse number 37. So that is where we are. Then we go to the Bible, Luke. L-U-K-E, in there, in Luke, you will find that the people, they were going, the shepherds were going with the animals, grazing. So all this will take place in summer, not in winter. So it shows this whole story of 25th December that Jesus was born is concocted, fabricated by the Catholic Church and the Pope and so forth, herd mentality. Next one, the Coptic Church in Egypt, Christians, so Maria Qiptia, so that you call them Qipti and Coptic Church. They reject it. They don't celebrate Christmas on this day. And you go to Russia, the Orthodox Church also does not celebrate. For us as Muslims, anything, everything to do with Christmas is haram. Surah 5, verse 51, do not take the Jews, Christians, to be your friends. Hadith Sharif of Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man tashabbaha biqawmin fawa minhum, when you imitate the people, you part and parcel of them. Authentic Hadith Abu Dawood. Fatwa of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, اجتنبوا أعداء الله في عيدهم. You Muslim, if you true Muslim, stay far away from the enemies of Allah during their celebration and festivities and festivals. His fatwa verdict is mentioned in Bayhaqi. Therefore fireworks, therefore Christmas tree, therefore giving presents to them for Christmas, accepting presents, all this haram, you must remember that, not permissible for us as Muslims. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala give us understanding of our deen, and we must not try and curry favor with people and bootlick people. That is a recipe for disaster and disgrace. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
We say Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah. From us in the team, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah.